color.
I know what you're gonna say. I'm not in green.
Yeah, it was actually the first thing I was gonna say. No, that's a lie. The first thing I was gonna say was I remembered to unmute myself before we went live.
That was last week. Yeah,
it's pick a week and there's some technical malfunction that happened.
Of course.
No, no green though, sir.
I don't have much green.
No.
Not for the lack of trying. I just don't happen to have any. I don't know. For some reason, my laptop has decided to just go the fuck nuts on the fan. Hopefully, it's not going to get picked up in the audio.
I can't even hear it.
Okay, because it just started just before it went up, but I checked all the vital signs, and I have no idea why it's just decided to give her with the fan.
Gave it the old 1-2 across the side just to make sure that it's.
Of course, now awake. That I bring it up, it stopped.
Okay, good. So that's awesome. Awesome. So, welcome to all the thank you, sir. Welcome to all the streamers that are watching. I was saying we should, you know, I'm thinking about standardizing, I guess, the greeting.
Standard. Or, opening. Welcome to Open Caller.
Yeah.
Say our names again.
I'm Steve.
That makes me Corey.
Nice. Episode 102.
We know our names.
Was it Sandu?
Yeah, 102.
Yeah. I've been using Duolingo. Are you familiar with Duolingo?
I am.
Yeah. I'm on
it's five... the what like mobile version of Rosetta Stone. Excuse me.
I've heard of Rosetta Stone. I'm not sure what angle they play or take, but
there was a time where I think that was the primo learner second language.
Right? I want to say, yeah.
That's the one you had to park yourself in front of a lap, a computer.
Whatever, is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah, I tried it for a bit. It was when the second lockout happened. It was basically you pick your language, you sign in to your account because it keeps track of your progress, and it's just their methodology of teaching is just repetition. It's like you're dropped in. Like feet first and go. So like you will get like an image or whatnot, and you click a button and it, you know, gives you a pronunciation of what that is. And yeah, as you go through the steps, it's repetition, but it's like, we know you don't know this language, so we're not going to help you with saying, hey, this is,
imagine you were in that country.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to pick it up. So this is how we're going to teach you how to pick it up. So you're going to see an image, you're going to hear what it is in that language, and that's all you're going to get. And throughout each step, we'll double back. We'll give you something new, but we'll double back. So it's like how babies learn, right? They see something, they hear a word, and then that's how they remember.
I would say for some languages that probably would work, but for others there'd be no hope in hell. I mean, I think of French. Like I'm learning French. I've been using Duolingo. I'm 3 days shy of logging in 550 days in a row. Again, they tally that, but. In your scenario, being dropped into French, I feel would be a lot easier to pick it up than, say, Latin
or English, really.
I mean, if you're speaking another language in English too, right? Right means this direction. Right means writing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get it. Anyway, yeah. So Duolingo, try it.
Then it's the masculine and feminine of it all that I think is what throws people for a loop, right, when it comes to French. Although in 2023, I don't think you can have genders with your words anymore.
You know, it's funny. I was asking my neighbors, so where we're situated on the street, 1, 2, 3, 4 and us, five houses, we're the only English speaking house, and the other four are like first language French.
Yeah, so you're like almost basically just thrown to the wolves, right?
Yeah. And I actually asked my neighbor, I was like, so with this whole masculine feminine thing, like, is that going to be, is someone going to get on their soapbox and say, yeah, we need to, not use this as a term of reference. And he was like, I don't think that will be the case. But what he did tell me was that if a word, I don't know if this holds true for every French word, but if a word ends with an E, it's generally a feminine word.
Okay.
So like rouge, palm, chat is masculine because it doesn't end with an E, cheval. Anyway.
So you're telling me there is no masculine apples?
None.
None.
Feminine as feminine can be.
I wonder if that's because it's like food, it's a source of life, right? Helps you live. It's nurturing.
The forbidden apple.
Yeah, yeah, that's why you would think it would be masculine then.
Yeah. But maybe it was Eve that ate it and not Adam. So it's her fault. So it's feminine.
Yeah.
Right?
Send your letters too.
Yeah. No. We'll talk about Shazam a little later, but there was an apple reference that's in that movie. So, you're never going to see this
like
movie.
Like the apples in the company.
Right.
Not apple is in the fruit.
No, apple is in the fruit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Reverse what I said. Not the company.
No, definitely not.
Is it like, how do you like them apples? Like Goodwill Hunting reference?
No. Well, I got a number. How do you like applesauce, bitch? Was applesauce, bitch from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back? Or was that? Okay.
Goodwill 2, Hunting Season.
Goodwill 2, yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but it just broke. So a little bit breaking news to some people who may not be in social.
Do we have a sound effect for it?
No, I was going to do it. Well,
there.
No, I don't.
We have it,
Lance Reddick. Some might know from The Wire. Others more recently might know from
Heroes.
The John Wick franchise. Passed away today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's 60 years old or 60 years young, depending on your...
Oh, no. How did he pass away?
It's saying natural causes. Huh. So, I don't know. Is a heart attack a natural cause really nowadays? Stroke? Like anything that's like not like illness related?
I would not say that that's natural. Just, natural would be like, you know, in your sleep. That might be it. But I don't know.
No, I haven't seen anything other than the some sources are saying natural causes. But so Keanu Reeves has made a statement. They said they're dedicating John Wick 4, which comes out next week, in his memory. So
was he... in the first three Wicks?
Yeah, he was the hotel manager.
Oh, right. See, I've seen the first one.
Or something.
Yeah. I've seen the first one. And I do remember him in The Wire. We only saw like the first four or five episodes of season one, as we do.
So you are a fan.
But he's like the, not police chief, but like the squad chief, I guess.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In that show. Was he not in Heroes as well? I feel like he was in Heroes.
And he was in Fringe. That was another thing that came up.
Oh, yeah, with Joshua Jackson.
Yeah, with Pacey.
Was that a good show?
Dawson?
No. Fringe.
I watched it a bit at the beginning, and then...
Was it like X-Files?
Kind of. It wanted to be X-Files.
Okay, yeah. That's the sense I got.
Yeah, but it was more like multiversal timelines type stuff. I think like one of the big reveals, spoilers for those who haven't watched yet, is that like Joshua Jackson's character died, but he got pulled in from like another universe timeline.
Okay.
His big things were using Oz.
Oh, yes.
I'm not seeing Heroes, but I'm scrolling up the wire. No. Hmm.
But he's definitely, he has some good credentials under his belt. Mm-hmm. So that's awful. Just before the release of a movie that he was involved in too. Like that's, I mean, it's never a good time to die, but you know, it's sad for, you know, his fellow castmates and people that he worked on.
Yeah. Like, you know, like it's coming out, like there'll be a premiere and everything. And now, you know, buddy's not there and a reminder of.
So well, do you scramble and like is it too late, you think, for them to say in memory of, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, Lance Reddick.
No, I don't think so. It's just a
maybe throw
like everything's digital now, not like you're gonna have like the big, you know, shipping the containers of reels of film anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you send over the new MP4 and it's got a little thing at the end now.
Quick, we gotta get this floppy disk to the studios. We gotta update the credits.
It almost seems like archaic now. Not even just that, but like somebody wants to watch, like, oh, like I have this movie downloaded. Oh yeah, I'll watch it here. Let me throw this on a USB drive. Like it just seems that almost seems archaic to me now.
You know what's funny is I was texting with a buddy of mine last night, mm-hmm. and I can't remember what we were texting about, but he was saying that, oh, I'll throw it on Thumbstick for you. And I was like, Thumbstick? Like,
exactly.
The 90s called and want their terminology back. Thumbstick. I busted his balls, needless to say, at least 10 minutes. It's why don't we just play Oregon Trail on, you know, on an old school computer while we're at it?
Like, just even having, like, a flash drive with this capability on it.
That was...
Look how old this is. I don't know if I can get on the camera, but, like, look, it's angled.
Yeah. It's been used.
Oh, yeah. And it's a Sony 8 gig. Like,
I was going to say, what is that, 8 megs, 64 megs? But it's 8 gigs.
I don't have my other one. I had one we were using just to throw some pictures on when we were getting developed. Again, archaic. But it's like a 528 meg.
That's the thing with those thumb drives is that you end up with like a shoebox full of them.
Yes.
You know, and you don't know what's on it. You don't know if it
works. They're all various sizes.
Yeah, and that's true. Like the attachment piece is always bent up or bent down. It's never straight.
Nope, not anymore.
It's like we're jamming it into the computer with no finesse. Just get
they're
in
always
there.
Like got like some stupid Nate company you never heard of. Like this one I just in my drawer here is like Viking Sives Limited.
Oh yeah. They went from being functional and serving a purpose to, hey, I'm in a golf tournament and this is in your loot bag.
Yeah. Everybody can use a flash drive, right?
Everybody gets a flash drive.
Yeah. Now it's like I think having big multi-terabyte hard drives is almost not obsolete, but you think people's like, yeah, I'll just throw it in. Like I pay Google for X terabytes a month, right? Everything's in the cloud.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anything tangible now seems like it's a thing of the past.
Twice now I've tried to use a terabyte hard drive, external hard drive, and both times it's died on me or it's broken down and I can't access what I'd saved on there. It's like, my God, like, is it just me?
No, nope. I have, it's in my desk here. I can't reach. It's covered in a whole bunch of other stuff. I think it's a 4 or 5. This is gigs back then. That's how long I've had it. But yeah, you get it. I was able to put stuff on it to a point. I think maybe half the capacity was used and then it would just stop working.
Yeah. Like I backed mine up for like maybe, I don't know, like 3 times. And then it just stopped working. It's like, okay, great. Like
wipe it. Works fine.
But then the cloud, like, listen, like I'm all for advancements in technology.
However,
I work for a company that should embrace that or does embrace that. But still, like, I worry that depending on who you go with for your cloud services, if you don't go with a well-branded company or well-known company, there is a risk that you could just lose everything, right?
Like, we have, just for the wife's constant photo taking and uploading, because she used the Google Photos app.
Right.
So I have paid for the digital storage for Google Photos. Now, my only concern with that is that Google is one to just on a dime change their mind and kill one of their products. I'm not entirely sure this will because it's kind of all integrated into their Google One platform. So it's like universal storage for their photos, the Google Drive, what have you, but you never know. Well, like Apple's another one I think would you'd be more fine with.
With what's been going on with tech companies in recent months with layoffs and, you know, trimming the fat, you know, reducing expenses. Now would be the time where they'd be like, yeah, you know what? Let's just get rid of this cloud option for photos.
Because
all like my life's memories are gone.
That's like their huge like killer, when it comes to expenses, is their server farms.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, what are you going to do? AI is the next big thing to worry about.
Worry about or embrace?
Well, maybe I'll just be deleted for saying that from the Matrix. Oh, no, we don't need him. Let's go with the embrace guy.
Don't you?
Let's grab my tinfoil, put it on my hat.
You know, we did have a whole show description and outro thanks to the likes of AI.
Yeah.
Because it's less lazy. It's less lazy than I am.
And it gave me my outro. So thank you, artificial intelligence.
That's right. ChatGPT. One thing I didn't talk about last week, we could have. Now, for our live stream viewers who can see this picture and for the listeners on Spotify, our proud web host of our show or even Apple, wherever you get your
aggregation
downloads from. Aggregation. This is a picture of Mark Guggenheim. Now, for those,
oh my god,
he just looks like a regular guy.
He's so changed.
So, for folks uninitiated, Mark Guggenheim was one of the co-creators of the Arrow series and the subsequent Arrowverse that spawned from that show. So, you know, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Batwoman, and I think that's
all of them.
You know, Superman and Lois, to an extent, kind of spun out of it, but it's its own thing now.
And a former comic book writer for DC as well.
Yeah, so he, I guess, was interviewed not too long ago, or just in a post. Oh, he did a post on his Substack account. He shared his thoughts and his regrets of basically working with DC, specifically with the Arrowverse. He mentioned that he didn't expect to obviously do anything with the new regime of DC, but given
new regime the time, being like James Gunn,
yeah,
okay.
Peter Safran.
Yeah.
But he just would have liked a meeting, right? You know, like, he spent a good chunk of his life building this huge TV universe, right? Yeah. Never got a meeting.
More than 10 years.
Yeah. He said that he's not particularly surprised, but he said he would have liked to have gotten at least a meeting. Not a job, a meeting, a conversation, a small recognition of what I'd try to contribute to the grand tapestry that is the DC universe. I said, I'd only spent 9 years toiling in that vineyard, after all, was his quote. He went on to note that although working for DC had been creatively fulfilling, it involved a lot of adversity, challenges, and personal sacrifices, none of which seemed to have accrued any professional benefit. Simply put, the Arrowverse has not led to any other gigs, so it feels on a career level that it was a waste of his time.
Didn't lead on to any other gigs. Okay. I can meet you halfway for that statement, but I would argue that they went on a very good stretch of show property after property after property, which he was involved in each of them, if not most of them. Yeah. That in and of itself was a new gig, starting from scratch, season ones and episodes ones and whatnot. So, yes, maybe you didn't get job offers from outside of DC, other properties, and that's you kind of pigeonhole yourself into that situation. What I don't like is the fact that he wasn't given that meeting with Safran and Gunn. I do think that's a slap in the face, because if you holistically look at DC's properties over the last 10-15 years, the only, excluding comics, the only successful element of that was the Arrowverse. They were the properties that had longevity, had ratings, had, you know, a diehard fan base. Whereas you look at the movies and they were just spinning tires. Yeah. So for you not to give him a meeting is atrocious and disrespectful.
Yeah.
And it almost screams to me like there's a bit of pompous attitude towards him from James Gunn and the Safran buddy. Where it's like, no, we've got this, you know, we've got our plan and our plan and that's it. You know, it's our way or the highway kind of thing, which shouldn't be the case. So,
yeah, like, he even goes on to say when it came to Crisis that basically he kind of didn't get much love or help from Warner Brothers and had to put in, like, call in every favor, burn every bridge that he had, and even spent $10,000 of his own money to make sure that it got done the way you wanted it to get done.
For what though? For certain characters or certain Earths or what?
Didn't go specific into it. I just think in terms of the production and getting the, you know, budgets covered.
I think that Crisis on Infinite Earths was the penultimate achievement of the Arrowverse. I personally loved it. There were some things within that, I think it was 5 episodes, story arc. There were some things where I was like, it's a bit cheesy. It's a bit TV-ish. You can like tell that it's for the small screen.
Right.
But by and large, I felt it was quite the achievement.
I think it was nice having Brandon Routh be Kingdom Come Superman.
Yeah. Like, that even was amazing. You know, he was the perfect Superman after Christopher Reeve. And he just fit the mold of Kingdom Come Supes, you know, even, like the old Flash from the 90s TV show, and he came and he went on the treadmill. Oh, yeah,
like John Wesley Bishop or John
Wesley. John Wesley, Bishop, yeah. John Wesley Ship.
Ship, Bishop.
Yeah,
Ship.
Like yeah.
Now it's my turn.
That's
to fuck
unfortunate,
up names.
But he's definitely done his dues. He's cut his teeth and at least getting to the point where he should have a meeting or he should have kicks at the can.
You come in and just say we're going another way, but congrats on all the work you did. We really appreciate it. Like, you know, he took some characters that some people didn't even know about or remember and elevate him a little bit enough to put them in the zeitgeist enough for people to go, oh yeah, I heard of that.
And listen, he wrote, he had a pretty good run in the comics for writing Flash. Mm-hmm. And with the shit show that the movie, the, you know, post-production, pre-production, everything with that movie, the shit show that it's been, he probably could have been a good sounding board for consultation on perhaps this is something that you might want to consider or something you might want to avoid.
Yeah.
From a properties perspective, maybe not so much like pre-production, but Gunn and Safran only came on recently, but yeah.
Sticking with DC, apparently there's one person, big name person, who has seen The Flash.
Okay.
This came out today. And apparently absolutely loved it.
Kevin Smith?
Oh, not that small, bigger. Oh, one Mr. Tom Cruise.
Why does he look so old in that picture?
Because he's old now.
I'm crazy.
Whoa, too far. He had a private screening, and he apparently loved the movie.
Okay. Okay. A couple questions.
Like, Tom Cruise is a big movie buff. Like, he loves movies, so he could be an instance where he doesn't dislike anything. He can just say, hey, I saw it, loved it, boom. We saw him sitting in a theater during like the height of the pandemic watching Tenet, and he said it was amazing.
Why him? And I feel like he's also
motherfucking Tom Cruise. If he wants to see a movie, they're setting up a screening.
Yeah, fair enough. But then that you know, perhaps could be, the argument could be, he wants to see a movie, so let's get him into a seat and watch the movie and maybe nudge his shoulder a certain way to have him say like these some good things about the movie. It's kind of like your comment offline about the cameo with Shazam.
Oh, which, yeah, we'll then talk about.
Yeah, which we will. Later. But I mean, like,
yeah, this,
like,
that's my thinking too. When stuff start leaking out ahead of, like, Warner Brothers brings in actor to watch movie, actor comes out, says good movie.
Yeah. Like, I would take more value in, you know, like, there's a blackout period for the film critics,
mm-hmm.
and then the embargo. They can, like, the embargo, thank you, that was the word I was looking for, the embargo, and then like I think it's 48-72 hours before the movie it's lifted, and then they can start writing spoiler free reviews
right
until the date that it's released. That's what I'll listen to, that's mm-hmm. what I'll read, that's what I'll take their word on, you know, not fucking Tom Cruise. He's a great actor, but like he's got no lineage, no stake in the game with this. Mm-hmm. They could, and my immediate thought was like, okay, well, how much did they pay him? So it's Warner Brothers. Does Tom Cruise have any movies coming up with Warner Brothers? You don't have that on cue, Corey.
No, his next movie coming out is Mission Impossible. That's Paramount.
Which is Paramount, okay?
Yeah.
And Paramount was also Top Gun too, I believe.
Yeah, he's all in on Paramount.
Huh. I don't know.
Unless maybe it's like, yeah, Warner Brothers is trying to get him, court him for a project. So like, hey, come out, see this movie. Let's talk about whatever. And you say something good, maybe we'll up the offer.
You know, looking at that picture, he would actually not be a bad Alan Scott in the new DC EU, I guess we'll call it until it has a new name. But like the Justice Society, Earth 2, Green Lantern. You can come correct and play that off okay. So maybe they're courting him.
And we can just say, Marvel, you missed your chance. You could have had him for Superior Iron Man.
Maybe they still will, though.
I don't know. We'll get to Marvel in another hot second. But I think this is the last DC thing that I got that came out this week. Our boy Affleck is talking again. Shots were fired. He says, I got nothing against James Gunn. I just wouldn't want to go in and direct in the way that they're doing things over there. He is done with DC and I guess doesn't like the style of which James Gunn has done things, right?
Where does that beef start? I mean,
he hated, he said he was miserable. Like there's says nothing but bad things to say about his experience doing Justice League. So I think it stems from that. And I just think he would rather just.
Well, yeah. Keep his I mean, distance. Look how uncomfortable those suits looked, from his armored suit to even the suit that you were looking at on the screen, like his, you know, street attire, Batman suit. Like he just looked uncomfortable. Like even when he was walking around, he just looked stiff. He looked big. He looked like he just didn't look like Ben Affleck, you know?
I do find it funny though, that again, I haven't seen either one of those movies, but I remember from the trailer having this suit like in, I don't know, let's say his cubby for lack of a better term. And he's looking at it, but the suit still has the muscles. So you're like, you're literally saying you built a suit that is all beefed out.
Yeah.
Whereas in like every other iteration, maybe except for the 89 Batman movie, it's more looking more like mechanical, right? So it's like a just normal suit, but it's like, it's got lines, but the lines look less like they're six packed abs or bicep. It's just more like grooves and things like that, right? Like plates.
Yeah.
This is like, it's got like, and look, it even got, has wrinkles built into it. Which again is ridiculous for something that's,
well, it's like this supposed to be like a bat nipples,
I guess. So it's like, yeah, he didn't iron his suit that again has fake muscles built into it. It just looks ridiculous.
Alfred, you didn't get the suit pressed. God damn it.
Are you a big fan of the small ears, or you need the bigger ears on the cowl?
I'm okay with the small ears.
It looks like a bear.
Yeah, it does. I think, Did Keaton's Batman have longer ears?
Okay, you had long ears.
Yeah, see, like that, I could buy. But then I think of like Long Halloween, right, where it was like super.
Oh yeah, those
like,
are fucking.
Those are just too much. Like those are too much.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, actually, you know what? Since the bear comment, it's now all I can see.
It's all about the bears.
That's bears. Like, it's unfortunate because you know you look at Ben Affleck and I love Ben Affleck. I've always loved Ben Affleck. His acting chops, his directing chops. He's great at what he does. And it's, I feel, an unfortunate thing that DC presumably won't be able to have him come on and direct something. Because I feel like if he can be removed from the acting position of a character and just direct, he could put out a gem, you know? And he's got the track record for it. Like he's, you know, Argo and Gone Girl, and the new Nike movie looks pretty good that he's putting out. So yeah, I think it's their loss. But I'm very curious as to why, like, where does that resentment stem from? Is it just like? Go ahead.
I was just saying, yeah, it does seem odd to hold that kind of resentment, based on working with a director on a project. Then losing that director and bringing something else in, like you would think having maybe a different regime would possibly make things better or, but
rejuvenate them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it was just that bad of an experience that no matter what happens or changes are made, you can't get over it. Then I guess, I don't know.
Is James Gunn maybe a bigger asshole than led to believe?
It's hard to say. Because like have how much everybody came out in defense of him after those he was, you know, quote unquote canceled for Marvel those years back.
Right, right.
But like when you see things like what happened to Henry Cavill with being in Black Adam cameo, Warner Brothers coming out saying that he's coming back, and then James Gunn comes in, cancels
in a New York minute, just kiboshes.
Says he's like, but then starts talking about how we're gonna keep other people. And this movie that he was working on now is, you know, it's the pride and joy of what they're working on. Now he's going to come and direct it, and it's all going to be based around that. Scrapping other plans and stuff that were unfolding.
Yeah, because it was official this week that he's now directing Superman Legacy, right? Like, there was speculation, but now it's confirmed. Yeah. And I feel like he almost wants all the fortune and glory, you know? And, you know, he's directing the flagship movie that's going to launch the new era of DC and Superman Legacy. And that's all, you know, my doing. and you know, we're not going to bring back this folk or that folk, and you know, we're going to.
It sounds like they are though.
Like, I don't know, man. Like when we like talk,
he says about, no, but then like shit's happening. That's
even with yeah, even with Shazam, it just made me scratch my head. Hey, when we get there, okay.
Oh, no,
we're here.
We're getting there because everything else is Marvel. So let's wrap it up on DC here.
Okay.
All right. So Shazam, Fury of Sigods.
Yeah.
Zachary Levi's back and he's Shazamier than ever. Or is he?
I enjoyed the movie.
Okay.
So I really liked the first movie. I think in both cases with the first one as well as this most recent one, I went in with not a lot of expectations. I probably went in with more expectations on the second one based off of how much I enjoyed the first one.
So that was your first mistake.
That was my well, it was tempered, I think. Okay. There were a few, like there were lots of things that I loved and some things that I absolutely did not like and some other things that made me scratch my head. Zachary Levi is perfect for Shazam. I found that he was serious when he needed to be. It was almost like a character arc of sorts. Like, so spoilers, let's just get that out there.
Okay. Spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah. If you don't want to, you know, have anything ruined, turn the fucking thing off.
No,
keep it on, but turn it off, but come back, come back. It was almost like a character arc in that, like the movie started off where he was, it picked up from after the first one where he had self-doubt. He wasn't sure why he was given these powers by the wizard, wasn't sure how to lead a team, wasn't sure what to do. Keeping in mind that he's a then 16-year-old turning into an adult. So that's how the movie started off. And they really hammered home on, you know, he was abandoned by his parents. He was abandoned by the foster system. And so he's holding on to his Shazamily, I think is what they called it in the first
one. Yeah, I've seen the commercials.
As much as possible. So I was like, okay, I can get that. The first scene of the movie where they're fighting or protecting as the Philadelphia fiascos, as they're labeled in the movie, he saves someone that's in a car falling off of a bridge, and the lady that's in the car is playing a song from Footloose. I need a hero. I need. I'm not gonna sing, but I just did. And I thought, like, oh, is this going to be like a James Gunn? Is this going to be like a Guardians of the Galaxy, like laying heavy and laying thick on music? And I was a bit concerned, but it wasn't that bad afterwards. Like, it was just that, and the music played for that scene, and then it went on. They pulled a lot of, I think they pulled a lot of lore from Geoff Johns' run of Shazam, where it really played on the family aspect and, you know, the wizard's lair and like going into different doors and different realms, and each realm had its own unique thing. So they really played on that. The Sisters of Atlas, who were the main antagonists, were okay. Helen Mirren was good. I can't remember the others that were, I don't know their names in real life, but they're okay. But I had a problem with them. So in the second act, Helen Mirren's talking about how this is very much personal. Like the way that the movie works is that the wizard stole the powers of the gods and put them into the staff. And then he had selected the champion of Earth's realm, which is Shazam, which is Billy Batson, and bestowed the powers upon him. So they are coming back to claim it. And the Daughters of Atlas, are the Daughters of Atlas, and they were able to come back to this realm. And so in the second act, she's telling Shazam that she takes it, you know, very personal, and uses the analogy that if someone broke into your house and stole your money and ran off, you would go after them. But then if that thief dropped the money and the neighbor picked it up, it would be personal, because if the neighbor didn't want to give it back to you, then so she outlined it pretty good. But then in the third act, she played the MacGuffin. And I'm kind of all over the map here. Like, I didn't write anything down. I'm just kind of going off of in the third act.
Yeah.
She played the part of a MacGuffin where Billy needed her help, because earlier in the movie, she had created this dome over Philadelphia where no one can get in or out. And he needed her help to shrink the dome for him to defeat her sister, not Hespera, but another one. And she only did that because she was backstabbed by her sister. I'm not going to get into why she was backstabbed, but it was a MacGuffin of any MacGuffin, right? Like it's just a convenient, plot device to move the story forward. So that was kind of one thing that I didn't really enjoy. I also noticed as well that, and I've been thinking about this a lot after coming home from the movie yesterday, in that there are so many properties that have families. You know, there's the Bat family, there's the Flash family, there's the Iron Man family, there's the Spider-Man family, there's the Shazam family. Like there's a Superman family, and everyone has a family, and not just in the movies, but in the comics as well. And it got me thinking, like, at what point, like, it would just be nice to have a single person, and just have a story about that and not be about the family.
Well, I think that's why some people prefer these Batman movies without Robin, because once you get into Robin, then there's Batgirl, then there's, you know, Red Hood, there's
so many Tim Drake,
every version of,
And then we were talking earlier about, like, you know, actors being in the new DCEU, others not. There were two end credit scenes, and the first one.
Well, you go with the cameo,
So the cameo was,
which we know because it's been commercials on TV before the movie came out. I said it's probably because they want to get people to go.
I got my ass in that seat in the theater without knowing who it was, which is surprising. Well, we also went the day that it opened, so I was able to dodge that bullet, which I was very happy.
And I even like told you that they were doing it, and he still didn't find out.
But there's a scene where he's having a dream as Billy, and he's having dinner with Wonder Woman, but you never see her face. You just see like her from her back, or when
the look peacemaker at her front. Move.
Yeah, and then it turns out that it was the wizard that was trying to communicate him. So then he took on her face, and in that scene, I was like, "Okay, well, it's got to be Wonder Woman that has this cameo. Like, it's got to be her, because he's just like they're hammering home the fact that Billy has a crush on Wonder Woman, and will do anything to join the Justice League, and wants to go on a date with her, and yada yada yada." So when it actually did happen, it wasn't like, "Oh my God," you know, like it was. It was just okay, I saw that coming. But then it also led into the fact, it's like, what is going on with DC? In that, like, does Wonder Woman have a part to play in the future, where the third movie in her trilogy was apparently kiboshed? Who's the director? I can't remember.
Patty Jenkins.
Like, her movie was kiboshed. But then she shows up in this. And then also the end credit scenes, there were two. The mid scene was pretty cool. The second one after the credits was a waste of time. I could have gone to the bathroom a lot sooner. And the first one was, I never saw the Peacemaker, but there's a girl and a guy that's in Peacemaker, and he's a bit overweight, a bit portly.
Stephen Eggy.
That's right.
And I guess is the girl
blonde girl. Yeah. It's
James Gunn's wife.
Oh, is that his wife? Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Nepotism. So they go and meet with nepotism at its finest. So they go and meet with Billy, and they ask him to join the Justice Society, because Waller had sent, and here's Waller again, like just
Waller. Everybody wants Waller.
She sent them out to go and recruit Billy for the Justice Society. And I was like, okay, fair enough. But then do you know about these? The second one was basically a rehash of the end credit scene after the first movie, where Savannah's in the jail cell and Mr. Mind, the little worm, comes. Well, he's still in his jail cell, and he comes back, and it's just a diatribe of, you know, what is the plan? I've been waiting here for 2 years. You haven't told me anything. I need to know what this plan is, you know. And he's like, I'm a worm. I move really slowly. And then he's like, tell me everything. And he's like, I will, but I have one more thing to do. And then he leaves. And then Savannah's screaming. It was like, what was the point of this? Like, what was the point of this?
to keep you waiting. And then when No Shazam 3 happens, it was like, for naught. just like,
so I get the point of, I get the point of keeping it vague and loose so that if you have plans to include Savannah and Mr. Mind in the new DC movies, then that's fair. Mm-hmm. But two things. Number one, why would you choose Savannah? And why would you choose Mr. Mind out of the whole category of characters that you have? Like, you're choosing those two. And yeah. Number two, it's like they were in the previous universe. Mm-hmm. And I just like, it's just a very confusing system that they have with, like, what the hell is going on here? Like, I can remove myself from that way of thinking and enjoy the movie for what it was. And I feel like I did a good job.
Yeah.
But there were certain parts of the movie where it was unavoidable, like where it was just, they were hammering it home. And you're starting to think like, okay, I can start thinking about this and I have no clue on where this is going.
Yeah, like I think the worst thing about it is that this movie was originally slated to come out after Flash. So everything in this technically is supposed to take place in the new DCU. However, they moved it in front of the Flash coming out, and now the Flash is going to come out, which then is going to turn into James Gunn's DCU, which, to your point, none of this makes sense if they're world building on something that's not going to continue.
I did not know that it was supposed to come out before the Flash.
Yeah, I think...
Or was it, sorry, after the Flash?
After the Flash. It's supposed to be the Flash first, then this. But F. Gary Gray, the director, I think he's kind of doing damage control before the movie came out too, because he's the one that said he had no idea they were going to drop that cameo in the commercial, because he made a point of saying like the suits are all different in this movie because it was supposed to be explained that is a result of what happens in the Flash, but now that it came out before the Flash, it's kind of okay, I guess magic changed their suits as to why everything looks different, because it's supposed to look different because it's supposed to be technically now a new universe,
right
that's why there's subtle changes to their looks.
There was a really cool scene, actually, which was in the third act. They plant this tree, the Tree of Life, the Daughters of Atlas do in Citizens Bank Ballpark, which is Philadelphia Phillies home field. And it grows. And then because of it growing, it unleashes these monsters. Very, very similar to the seven deadly sins that you saw in the first Shazam movie. So it wasn't a far stretch from what they had used in the past.
Yeah.
But there was a scene where they had a cameo and there were people like citizens of Philadelphia cheering on Billy and saying, good job, you know, like we love you and protect our city and that. And one of the guys was Matthew Gary, who played Billy Batson in the 70s Shazam TV show. And he had his red shirt. He had his yellow collar, his yellow cuffs. It was pretty cool. Like that was pretty cool. I tried to keep my eye out for any cameos by like Jeff Johns, and others that were involved in the volumes for Shazam, and I didn't see any. So
I like when they have people in cameos from like the OGs or
like there is I think the coolest one for me, I mean Stan is Stan and he's been in every
Stan
one,
is Stan.
But in X-Men Days of Future Past there was Chris Claremont and Len Wein who had a cameo, and they were both instrumental. Like, I mean, Claremont wrote Days of Future Past. But yeah, it's nice, to your point, it's nice to see the old timers, like the OGs get their cred.
But no Adam West in any of the Batman movies.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because he would have been too like, oh shit, it's Adam West. It would have taken away from it.
Yeah, maybe.
If not in the Burton ones, definitely Schumacher ones, sorry, should have popped up in, because since they were more child and campy.
Mm-hmm. 100, yeah, they should have definitely done that, definitely. Speaking of Batman and Adam West.
Yep.
Kevin Connolly, obviously we lost him last year.
And Conroy.
Conroy, pardon me.
Right, now you're back to fucking up the names.
Yeah, exactly. My turn. They omitted him from the Oscars memoriam for 2022. Oh, him and Paul Sorvino.
Paul Sorvino.
Yeah.
That one I'm like, the hell.
Yeah.
And like, even like, I know he was on Law and Order and I'm sure he's done a bunch of TV, but like.
Goodfellas.
Like Goodfellas. Like everybody knows that scene in Goodfellas with the razor blade.
Yeah.
Onions.
Yeah.
Like that is like the most famous scene from that fucking movie. So even if you forgot about him, you would remember that. Then you go, oh shit, that's Paul Sorvino. And then you would have remembered to put him in there.
Yeah. 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 That scene cutting the onions. And the other one is earlier on in the movie when Henry's explaining like what the mob was. And like, it was basically like policemen for criminals.
Yeah.
And there was a backyard barbecue and Paulie's just sitting there and he's just eating his sandwich and he doesn't talk, but he just looks and, you know, his brother's running and just very unfortunate that they omitted him.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people pointed that out. But that's what I was saying to Ashley, because they say every year someone's missed. I'm like, why are we not just doing like an end credits scroll with the names, put their pictures next to it if you want, and stop showing the clips and the cuts to whoever's singing the song? That's what's doing it. Just have the scroll. Then everybody's name is there. And if you miss it, that's on you. It's there rather than we cut it out for time. You got 3 minutes. You can, you know, get in your Final Cut Pro on your Mac and set this to this, you know, start to finish 3 minutes, 20 seconds. And then it'll automatically adjust as it scrolls. Like,
or just tack on an extra 15 minutes to the show.
Just half hour over.
Yeah, and just, you know, dedicate that last half hour to whatever. Terrible. And if people turn off the tube after the last award's been given out and they don't watch it, that's on them. But at least the Academy is, you know.
I was thinking, you can't justify it anyway. You can't. It's indefensible.
Missing people?
Missing people.
Yeah, I know. This is the Academy. Like this is like the, like they are supposed to be the ones that judge all of the great movies and all of the great actors of our time. And,
right?
You know, like they if you can remember
somebody who was like the key grip for whatever movies that, and put him in the telecast, you're going to remember actors who've been nominated for awards.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that Paul Sorvino was nominated for Goodfellas. Kevin Conroy, maybe not, but the fact that he had.
I'm sure he'll be in the Emmys.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know,
TV Batman shows. Yeah, series. Yeah.
But
he dedicated his life, his career to a single character, embraced the, you know, the job, the role, right? Was adored by fans.
He was vengeance.
I am vengeance.
That's right. Fuck. He's still the best. I can't, like, if I'm reading, that's who I hear in my head, is Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, for sure.
That's his voice. I'm not hearing Keaton or Clooney.
I will sometimes hear Keaton.
Yeah.
Sometimes hear Keaton. I find that I will. Yeah. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I'm leaning more towards Conroy, but I will hear Keaton.
Especially when it's I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Like that's, he owns that because he still says it, and good on him. My biggest gripe in that movie is that Batman's not a recluse. Or sorry, Bruce Wayne's not a recluse. He's not like gothic and emo who hides.
Well, sorry, which movie?
Burton's 89.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That he was just kind of like almost goofy and dimwitted.
Hiding in his ass, yeah. Like that's not Bruce Wayne. That's not Batman. He's better in the second one. Like, you know, showing him at business meetings and shit. And
I seem to remember that Vicky Vale was taller than Bruce.
That's right.
And it was when they were having the party, and she goes in and sees all of the, you know, 10th century Asian samurai suits or whatever that he had, and then he walks up beside her and he's shorter than her. I'm like, that doesn't jive.
I forgot about it. Yeah,
yeah. And he's looking up. He's like 14th century. Yeah.
Yeah, I think even fucking Knox is taller too.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, and I didn't know Batman wore stilettos, but hey,
yeah,
maybe he did.
So you gotta get Tom Cruise in the DCU and then put him against Keaton. They're both, you know, both short. They'll look tall sitting next to each other.
Are we gonna talk about Mortal Kombat?
Sure. Well,
did you have that queued up?
Yes, but there was one more thing I want to talk to you about, which
sure.
We'll take your little usual commercial break, because then I will pick your brain about something else.
I got claws, I can use them.
Who said that?
Mutants must rule.
Did you say that?
Optic blast fire.
They all said that. They all talk.
Introducing Marvel Talking Superheroes and X-Men.
Is my.
And it sounds too.
Three separate voice sound activators let you control what they say.
Die, Spider-Man.
And do.
I want to eat your brain. Spider sense tingling.
Marvel talking superheroes and X-Men, each sold separately from Toy Biz.
You can get away with the toy thing. I want to die, Spider-Man. I want to eat your brains.
It's 1994. That absolutely warmed my heart. I had all those Toy Bizes. Had them all. Yeah, it was so good. So good. I didn't have them all. The only one I didn't have was Magneto, but I had Hulk, I had Wolverine, I had Spider-Man, I had Venom. Yeah, Hulk was the one that I didn't have.
Yeah, did you make it out and find any more?
No.
Of these gems?
No, I went yesterday to the Dollarama.
Yeah.
And for those that are listening to the audio version of the podcast, Corey was showing the 3.75 retro Marvel Legends figures from Hasbro.
That's right. Or Kenner, as the man lead you believe.
But they are heavily discounted. Were they $450? Were they?
No, they're the full five at Dollarama.
Oh no! What Dollarama are you shopping at?
The one that has them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No,
I hit two more today. They didn't have any more, so I don't know.
I'm gonna go again tomorrow and check. But I
don't know what series these are either, because that make me question which other ones I'll be able to find. Usually they have the series numbers on them, right?
Like, you know, the wave number?
The wave, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I can find that out for you and let you know.
Because then it saves gas and
but there's only been like I want to say there's only been about six or seven waves of them, so it's gotta be one of the lower
and,
ones.
There's an Amazing Fantasy Spider-Man one. Whew, that looks nice.
Which one? The traditional.
Yeah, he's got the webs under the arm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I should Google it. And, I'd be impressed.
Those Toy Bizzes, though. I'm running out of room in my closet.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, same here.
I'm trying to figure out, I actually bought from Amazon today.
Yeah.
Elevated tiered stands. So okay. I can kind of position them a little bit better. But yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have add a few more shelves in here pretty soon, I think.
Okay, so we'll do a quick little Marvel catch-up and then the Mortal Kombat. So I don't know if you saw this, but word around the biz is there is a very good chance you're going to hear an announcement in the not-too-distant future that almost every project from Marvel Studios has been delayed. They said recent posting, I guess, for all the Disney Plus series that had dates of when they're coming out have all been changed to coming soon. Now, they think this all has to do with what we talked about last week with Bob Iger's comments about, quality over quantity.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff might be pushed back or scrapped.
But Iger already, when he made that announcement, had already outlined the series that were going to be delayed.
Mm-hmm. Or that now, were going to be canceled. Everything has went from spring or summer or fall to everything's coming soon. And I think Invasion, which was supposed to come out within the next couple months, does not have a release date now.
Oh, man, I was looking forward to that. I was thinking about that one yesterday as well.
Now, I first read the article. It was talking about the Disney Plus projects, but I saw another one today that's implying that even the films could be delayed.
You know what? It's
Ant-Man fucking killed it all.
I'm telling you, it's got to be the fact that we hear, rumblings that, the CGI companies are saying that Marvel's very hard to work with.
I believe it.
And maybe Marvel's having a hard time finding a company that will work with them for that aspect of the film. Because I would imagine it's a very tight-knit community. You know, the CGI companies are companies that do offer that as a service. Where they just talk with one another, like, oh, yeah, you don't want to work with them. This is what you'll come to expect, and this is what they'll demand, and this is, what they'll pay, or, whatever the case might be.
And this will be the short turnaround that you get.
And, this is the only leverage that they have to say, fuck you, and,
I find it funny. They own Lucasfilm, and Lucasfilm owns ILM. Why are is it just not going through them? They keep hiring all these other FX studios to do all their work. But yeah, I've heard there's been some people who flat out said they obviously didn't give their names but they said working with Marvel broke them to the point where they just quit the industry, period.
That story that you just brought up makes me think about something that Kevin Feige said earlier this week, and that, you know, he expects to see the MCU last just as long as the comic books have, lasting 80 years. And, you know, he anticipates that the MCU will go on for that amount of time through all the properties, and talking about reboots and how Marvel has done reboots of their own and refreshed their characters when continuity became too much. And he feels that the MCU can do just the same thing. And this is not a good track record for that, because, like, phases, I know we've talked about this till blue in the face.
Yeah.
But phases 4 and 5, so far anyway, are not delivering on what 28 films previously delivered on, is what it boils down to. And like, the fact that they're setting themselves up with delaying, which I think it's just they're buying time to cancel these properties. It is what it's telling me. Like, it's just like, you know, when I saw a promo photo online, and I don't know if it was fan made, but a few days ago it was the Moon Knight season 2, where it was, you know, Moon Knight and his girlfriend in the show, I can't remember, but then in the background was Rama Tut, and he was going to be involved in that. So if it's real, then it's like, well, it's only a matter of time till this gets delayed.
Have they actually even officially announced a season 2?
That's why I think it might be fan fiction. But
yeah, I've seen some rumors saying that, yeah, Kang is going to be involved in season 2 of Moon Knight. I'm like, okay, well, he's already was in season 1 of Loki. Now he's going to be in season 2 of Loki.
So it's every property. So it's Loki 2.
Everything.
Oh, my God.
Rumored. But the article I was reading, too, said you're probably not going to hear anything else about this, because if you're going to say everything's delayed, you have D23 coming up. You have Comic-Con coming up. Like, you have all these places you're going to be wanting to show shit. So,
or people are going to be asking you about it.
Yeah, exactly. So it could just be a situation of it's just going to be rumor mill until.
So let me ask
July comes around.
With these, what seems like repetitive announcements of shows being delayed or canceled or, you know, rejigged. I'm talking about just about the TV shows.
Yes.
Is it making the movies that are having the theatrical releases feel almost pointless because of the delay with the TV? And I know that they've said before, which we've called out and others have called out, like, you know, in no way, shape or form do you have to watch the TV series and the movies in order to have the cohesive story, which is not the case. And we've said this before, but with the constant announcements of, you know, release dates being shifted, you know, properties being canceled, properties being delayed indefinitely. I'm thinking of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 that's coming out, and I'm thinking to myself, like, is there a point to seeing this movie now? Like, is there a point for, because I'm not seeing any progression. I haven't seen any progression in 3 years, and you can only use COVID as an excuse for so long, which I think we're past that now, you know?
Yeah. Like, There's been no progression, been no like cohesion to any of this, it seems, as well. Everything, which in like the grand scheme of things, I think you kind of want these stories to be able to be told separately. But we went through, like you said, 28 movies and how many projects where it was all connected, to have 5 or 6 movies where they all seem standalone, which again, we kind of got with the first realm of introductions, but you had a 4th Thor movie, which didn't really seem to tie into anything else. Like right now, it seems like what we're going to get with Guardians is wrapping up that story with those characters and nothing else. So that's like, you want to go see their swan song? Okay. But yeah, I don't think there's anything outside of a post credit scene that's going to move it forward, if at all, because we still haven't had anything tie into the Shang-Chi first post credit scene with the beacon. No.
Yeah.
And that was almost three years ago.
And you know, if they've outlined that, you know, phase five will be the Kang Dynasty, Avengers Kang Dynasty, and phase 6 will be 1 and 2 of Secret Wars. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of runway to build it up. Like, if you think about, you know, if you think about the first few phases, it was 10 years for them to go from, you know, the Avengers initiative in Nick Fury saying it in 2008 to 2018 Endgame happening. 10 years. And you are being overly ambitious to say, we're not gonna just have one major event. We're gonna have two. And that second one, we're gonna break into 2 films. Yet every time we say that we're going to push the story forward, cancellations, delays,
yeah,
you know,
prequels,
like it's like, and it's just like it kind of just the light went off just now as we're talking about this and thinking, like, is there a point for me to see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3? Because, like, I just don't know. I don't know. And I High Evolutionary, I think, is a very cool character, one that I've read many stories on. So I would go to see it just for that. But I don't know. Is it worth it? And I should point out for the good listener that while we shit on Marvel for the last phase and a bit, by and large, we've loved the MCU films.
Yeah.
So we bitch because we wanted to get back to the way things were.
It's fun.
And they're spinning tires in their mud right now.
Yeah. To this point, like before we got into the Black Widow of it all in phase four, it was really, you fought over which was the worst of not horrible movies, like Incredible Hulk or Dark World.
Yeah.
Right. And they were, again, their whole purpose was to move the needle forward. Then we have Black Widow, which, okay, to introduce characters that up until just this past summer got announced that we're going to see some of them again.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we did a movie that you may or may not have seen anybody anymore. And then, like you said, with Shang-Chi's, here's a character, okay, but we're not going to use him for 2-3 years. And then one of his setups we're not going to call back to, and his other post-credit scene is to set up another storyline, which again they have not even remotely touched or announced or anything moving on. So,
and I think they've lost sight of their ways too. Like, if you think about it, they took three properties that were B characters at best in Iron Man, Ant-Man, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And they were able to successfully, whether you like the movie or not, they were able to make a trilogy out of each of those sets of characters.
Yeah.
You know, and Iron Man started off and he ended up being the linchpin for the first 28 movies in four phases. And he went from being like a B supportive character in the comic books to like he is now the guy in the comic books and was for so many years in the movie theaters. And then you look at a guy like Scott Lang in Ant-Man, where who's going to care about a guy that can shrink to the size of an ant? And like, what value does he bring? Well, they just made a trilogy out of him. And the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy, like Groot, like who, like, I mean, I read comics and I wasn't really I'm not really a cosmic guy when it comes to the comics.
Yeah.
But you know, the fact that they were able to take a character and make Joe Blow off the street love him so much so that he, you know, has all these toys and spinoffs and they've tailored the second movie to him. They need to get back to that point. They need to get back to caring about the characters and caring about, you know, their stories and caring about their, you know, story arcs and whatnot.
I wonder if it was like a scramble, like RDJ said he was done and they're like, what do we do?
No, but they like, I don't believe that because he, like his, I think I want to say his initial contract for being Iron Man ran out and then they were able to renew him for an additional like 3 or 4 movies or whatever. And it was probably maybe 3 movies. So they knew that they were on borrowed time when they renewed him for his contract the first time. So at that point, like you need to start planning, which is why I think they had hoped that Doctor Strange would have been, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch would have been that guy to take over that role as like the guy in the MCU, the leader of the MCU.
I guess they rushed to the madness too quickly.
Oh, let's watch this trailer.
Okay. So yeah, you want to talk about the Mortal Kombat
reboot? It was amazing.
Hold on. Let's review. It's been a while.
First learned about this 7 years ago on a mission in Brazil to capture a wanted fugitive. When we got there, it tore through our
a lot of ice. This is like too soon. Too soon with this winter we've been having.
This audio could have been. Shouldn't have started off with this audio because that was terrible.
But it was awesome.
It was one scene.
Dialogue aside.
It's a birthmark.
What do you mean?
He was born with it.
It's not a birthmark, Cole. It means you've been chosen.
throughout history, different cultures all over the world reference a great tournament of champions. That dragon marking? I think it's an invitation to fight for something known.
The Elder from Bullet Train. Amazing.
Right.
As Mortal Kombat.
These are your champions.
And I want to say this came out like at the height of COVID. Okay.
Name's Jax.
Kung Lao.
Lord Raiden.
The fate of Earth is in our hands.
No matter how many of my people you put in the ground, we will not fail. Kill them.
Amazing. It was amazing. You know, for someone who controls ice.
Kano wins, you fucking beauty.
For someone who controls ice, Sub-Zero, like, I would never want him working on my ODR because it's just the ice he makes isn't smooth. It's always rigid.
Yeah, it's pretty rough, yeah.
So, Oliver is working towards his black belt. And so we've been talking, he's less than a year away from getting his black belt and doing tournaments and whatnot. And we've just been talking a lot more lately about karate. And so I was like, I think he might be at the age where we can watch Bloodsport. And so I was searching online and surprisingly Bloodsport isn't available anywhere, which, you know, kind of blows my mind and is a bit upsetting. And we came across Mortal Kombat and I was like, yeah, okay, let's watch that. Went in with zero, like literally zero expectation. It was amazing. Like it was mindless fun that just gave you very cool fight scenes, gave you different, you know, locations of where the fights happened. Sure, the story was a bit like whatever, but you're not watching this kind of movie for the story. You're watching it for the skeleton of the story, but really just for the fighting and just for the powers and whatnot. I loved how there were a lot of the characters that I remember from playing the video game, and it's been a long time. Like Kung Lao was one of my favorite. Kung Lao and Raiden were two of my favorite characters when I was playing that game, and they were both in the movie. Mm-hmm. But then they had like some of the newer ones and Reptile, and then the girl from Shang Tsung's. She had like the teeth or whatever. I can't remember her name. Jax and Sonya Blade, Kano. Speaking of Sonya Blade, like that first, you know,
the exposition.
Was terrible. Like that was just even when we were watching the movie, and she's like, "I've been searching this for years," and then and it's like, okay, like just very.
Let's go again. Let's try it one more time.
It's a MacGuffin to just, you know, explain just to move the story forward, and that's fine. I would say because of Kano, who I thought was pretty cool, the earmuff scale for Kano because of Kano was like close to 10. I did not realize the swearing would be as bad as it was. And every like couple minutes I'm watching with Oliver and I'm just like, like, can we get him off the screen? Can we get him, you know, off the screen and focus on someone else? And sure, there were some parts that were very, like, very quick. You know, Jax got beaten the hell up by the bad guy with the axe. No, the bad guy with the axe, like the bigger brute. And then when his arcana formed and he turned from, like, just the skeletal arms to, like, the full, like, cyborg arms, he went back and fought him and beat him in, like, 2 seconds. So there were some fight scenes that were like, ah, it's a bit quick, you know. But a question that I have is, first of all, how familiar are you with the game? Like, have you played it recently? Have you?
No,
like...
I haven't played it since I was a kid.
Because one of the things I was wondering was like the arcana, you know, like you have to discover your inner arcana, which is your inner gift. Was that a part of the game lore, or was that just for the movie? I feel like it might just be for the movie, but
I feel because like the latter games tend to have more single player story modes.
Yeah,
that it's more likely it's probably part of the lore. Wasn't the one that we grew up with, but it's probably more of a recent thing.
But I like the finishing moves, like the Kung Lao, like his hat spinning and like, you know, severs the girl's like head in half, which was one of the finishing moves in the game. Scorpion saying, get over here. Sub-Zero using his, Jax using his, even still, like Jax always like in every scene that he was in, he had his arms crossed. Cause in the game, if you remember, his arms were always crossed. Right. So yeah, like it was just, I think if you went in with any expectation at all whatsoever, you would be disappointed. But if you went in with like zero expectation with, I just want to lose an hour and a half of just mindless martial arts and a loose story, then you walk away not too upset.
What if you walked in thinking it'd be better than the 95 movie?
Wow. It is better than the 95 movie.
So my, like you, I have said this before. If I watch something that's PG-13 and I see them, or I should say, feel that the writers were writing dialogue and the natural way of speech would result in you probably cursing and like, well, we can't use these words. So they think of something else. That drives me nuts. The next thing that drives me nuts is swearing for no reason.
Yes.
So like you're saying, like it was at, like to the point where it's like, okay, whoever wrote this just either wrote different dialogue and searched and replaced whatever word he had with fuck.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm there with you for sure.
But the movie was called Mortal Kombat. It's Mortal Kombat is a tournament. There was no tournament in this movie.
No.
So like it's mortal. It's combat. It's not Mortal Kombat. There was fighting, but the whole, like, they talk about an ancient tournament that they don't ever go to.
Yeah, that was probably the one thing for me too. Like, I got maybe halfway through the movie and I was like, okay, there's still time for this tournament.
Yeah, but
they're really dragging it on. We need to get to this. We need to get to this.
If it was called Mortal Kombat Part One, like a Lord of the Rings type thing where, you know, it's the journey to the tournament and number two is going to be, but a number two doesn't look like it's ever going to come.
But I feel like it almost fits like I get what you're saying. Like I completely agree. Like it, as a purist of the property, the way that it should be is that you are in this tournament, like this formal tournament to fight for Earth or to fight for the outer world or whatnot. So I get that. But for the sake of this movie, it was a different kind of tournament where they were being invaded. Like they were just impromptu locations where they were fighting because bad guys were being bad guys and not being honorable. And they were trying to, you know, circumvent the rules, and they were one win away from, you know, from mastering Earth's realm. They were going to pull, cheat where they could and like try and pull wins out where they felt they could.
Yes. You've just described like an 80s sports movie where they're doing everything, like the team that wins every year is doing all they can to get the underdogs to like miss the game or
like
or get their star. Yeah. Or get their star player removed from the game.
Is he in the jurisdiction for this hockey?
That's right. The boundaries go around here. That's where your house is, where the district lines were switched a couple years ago.
That's right.
Pop a collar.
To your point, like, yeah, it would have been cool to.
Like the 95 movie, like they spend little time explaining what's going on. It's just there's this tournament. All right. And then it started.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it was just I was just in awe of the characters that I forgot about
in
the movies. Like, I thought that was cool. I feel like there isn't going to be a sequel. So it kind of sucks that Johnny Cage wasn't in it because they ended the movie with, like, you know, they're searching for more people.
Yeah.
And Johnny Cage's poster was the last image that we saw before roll to credits. But we started watching, like we started the movie early enough where I was like, okay, so now we've watched this, Oliver, let's watch, you know, the 95 one. And we got maybe 10 minutes and he's like, this is not good. I'm like,
no, that's why it's so good.
That's why it's so good.
This is all we had.
Like if you think about it, back then the movie matched the visual effects that a video game would have provided, right? So
like that's not the Scorpion that we remember. Scorpion didn't look like that. That's the OG look of the Scorpion is in this movie.
Yeah.
The 95 is the video game like rebranding of Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
I liked the Scorpion in the new one. I thought it was really
Looked cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's different.
Just like the choreography I thought was pretty.
No,
like,
fight scenes were good.
I think that's what saved it. I think if they were like shitty fight scenes with, you know, no thought or no effort put into it, then you would have lost me, I feel. But I think it just boiled down to like three things: zero expectations, characters that I haven't seen or thought of in years, and quality fight scenes for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was afforded the right to like me kind of like, okay, I can let that, I can buy that, or I can let that pass. Is it a movie that I'll watch like, you know, every other year? Probably not. Is it a movie that I'll watch like every 5 years? Like, oh yeah, let's put this on, or it's on TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then I will, you know, then I will. Would I have paid to go see it in the theater knowing what I know? Probably not.
No, that's why I was glad it was one of those HBO Max drop at home watch ones.
Oh yeah, it didn't even make it to theater. That's right, eh?
I think it was played in some markets, but everywhere else it was like simultaneous release.
Honestly, I think it came out in like the height of lockdown.
Yeah, it was 2021, April 2021.
Yeah.
So like we thought things were getting better, then it didn't.
Then Mortal Kombat came and it's like, okay, well, here we go.
Yeah, that's one thing like I've noticed now, you know, appreciation for real life choreographed fights versus the CG shit that we seem to be getting shoveled in.
I love it.
That's why the John Wick movies were so good. Effort was spent.
I saw somewhere that they're saying that John Wick 4 is going to be like a marvel at the cinematography and the fights and the scenes and whatnot.
Yeah, like someone said, I've heard it's like a love letter to action movies because of like the fighting and the choreography.
And that's a bold statement.
No,
that's
for sure.
Bold statement.
Hype bar is set now.
So do you think that I need to see the second and third one in order to see the fourth one?
Okay. I do. It's because the second and one for sure is world building, and the third one just builds on top of that.
Is it streaming?
Yeah.
On what?
It should be, let's get the old Google machine going. stream. I think it'd be
like should Crave maybe?
Maybe even Netflix. Like it's where to stream John Wick movies. Oh, actually this literally came up because they're prepping for the next one.
Like so next one being like five?
The fourth one. So there's a literal article that's where to stream John Wick in Canada. John Wick 1, 2, and 3, Amazon Prime, Crave, Netflix for 1 and 2, Prime and Crave for 3.
That's how it should be. Multiple options.
That's right.
And I can't find Bloodsport anywhere. I was so disappointed, dude. So disappointed. I felt Oliver was at that age. Like he would have loved the whole tournament. He has a tournament coming up in 2 weeks from now. And so I felt like watching the Bloodsport one probably would have been, you know, pumped him up a little bit.
He's past the Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, he's
both
definitely
versions.
That.
The Jackie Chan.
Oh yeah. And then was it Jaden Smith?
Yeah,
he's watched both. He prefers the original one though, which is one thing I love about my kid, both of them, is they fully embrace like the 80s.
Oh,
the
90s.
Love the movies, love the music, love the TV shows. Like they just embrace it, and it's as a parent of that generation,
I was gonna
it's
say,
so heartwarming. Yeah.
I would say my proudest moment as a parent is hearing my 5-year-old just out of the blue on her own singing the theme song to Cheers.
Yeah, right?
She's just playing. All you hear is where everyone knows your name.
Yeah, Like he and
you want to go where you can be. Your troubles are all the same.
As a dad, you're just like,
but yeah. I'm just like, she's singing that, and the wife's like, yeah, she's singing that. And I'm just like, she's like, you're proud, aren't you? I'm like, oh yeah,
100%. It's like Oliver. He just finished. It's not the 80s, but it's close enough where it was the original Full House, and just like hooting and hollering, like loved it.
Oh yeah, that started in the 80s and in the 90s. Both decades. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, I thought it was early 90s. Yeah, I guess because it went on for like 7 or 8 seasons. So
Full House debuted in 1987.
87. Wow.
87 to 95.
Huh. That is like in the 80s. I thought, okay, I was wrong.
Not, that's not like you. So I think we've overstayed our welcome.
Yeah. For this week.
For this week.
But we will be back.
Yeah.
We will be back.
I don't know. Next week, busy week. It's really in the thick of March Madness.
Are you into March Madness?
No.
What about World Baseball Classic? Have you been watching that?
I've been watching. I've been looking. It's been on and off, but like not in-depth watching.
So I haven't missed a game.
Okay.
And I will say that Canada has a great national team,
mm-hmm.
but they have 3 years to get their shit in order when it comes to pitching. And that's what they need to focus on. And so each team will win a certain amount of money depending on where they place. If they qualify for the quarterfinals, they'll make more money. But if they finish in first, second, third, or fourth, then they'll get money. So I think in Canada's case, they'll get $300,000, which doesn't sound like a lot. But for younger players that are developing, it is enough anyway to get it started. And this is $300,000 on top of whatever the national program provides the players. And I don't know how much that is, but if they can shore up their pitching by 2026, I'm not going to say they'll be on the level of the States or Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico or Venezuela even, but they will be competitive because they were in it this year. They were 100% in it, but their pitching couldn't get them out of an inning if their life's dependent on it. So
life's baseball. A game of pitches. Life's a game of pitches.
It's true. See, that's my thinking. I like that. Follow us socially on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
That's right. At
Open Collar Pod.
Now,
I would be remiss to say as well that if you are watching the video feed, thank you very much. You know, provide us questions, comments, feedback's great. I would also ask, or we would also ask that you hit the like button, you subscribe. Same thing for whatever podcast aggregator you're using. If it's Spotify, if it's
aggregator,
which is the best one. But Spotify, Apple, whatever aggregator you're using, subscribe and like us and leave a comment. It helps us help you,
yeah.
In the words of Jerry Maguire.
We need like wrap-up music, TV show.
100%. Just go 80s. Like, that's what we should do. This is our new outro music.
But then we got to stop talking soon. It's over. But we're still here.
No, but it's fine. It's trial and error, right? We are testing. We're testing for the public. So keep it geeky. There you go. Where's your hashtag?
I don't have one.
Oh,
I have
my God. You were on me for so long.
Yeah.
I'm getting one.
I have the button to go.
Oh, yeah. Keep it geeky, though.